Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Snow Jam Comedy Festival takes place at several locations throughout Sioux Falls this Thursday through Saturday. This year's headliner, Kevin MacDonald. And SDPB's Steve Zwemke had a chance to visit with him earlier this month. Steve, what can you tell us about Kevin MacDonald?
Well, Kevin MacDonald was one of the founding members of the Kids in the Hall comedy troupe. They were a troupe before they made it onto television. Lauren Michaels brought them to HBO. He co-founded that group with David Foley, who also went on to great success on news radio and NBC show. He does voice work in movies like Lilo and Stitch, the whole series, movie and television, Penguins of Madagascar, Phineas and Ferb. He's won several Gemini Awards. He's been nominated for 3 Emmys, and he's also Pastor Dave on That 70s Show. And I had a clip here, but I don't think we'll have time for it, so we'll probably just go ahead and get into our conversation. But a great list of comedy achievements for Kevin MacDonald.
All right, we'll visit more about the Snow Jam event itself, but first here's Steve's conversation with Kevin MacDonald, who headlines this Saturday night at Icon Lounge in Sioux Falls.
A friend and I in sixth grade would send what we used to call songs to Dr. Demento in hopes that he'd play them on the air. And unfortunately, that didn't take us to great places in the world of comedy. I'm wondering how young you were when you got the urge to entertain and be funny, and how did you develop and nurture that talent?
First of all, I was 19 when I heard Dr. Demento for the first time.
Wow.
And I like Dr. Demento. So there, that connects us. I guess I was grade six. What are you in grade six? 11? Mm-hmm. When I realized that I was sort of funny and I can make people laugh and I could tell that it was not so much like stand-up kind of funny, but like acting kind of funny, because I'm not so good with jokes, but the way I paused and the faces I made after I said things, and I knew that I could think of interesting things, that I could make funny. And that sort of started in grade six, I think.
The pause. Have such an appreciation for
that. The pause, yes.
That's a talent in itself. I definitely want to get into writing for comedy, but just bear with me as I touch on some career highlights. The Kids in the Hall had been working as a comedy troupe for roughly 5 years, I believe, before landing on television. How did you all get your break?
Well, when it finally became the five of us, because there was different versions of us, we were doing a show in Toronto at a small theater restaurant called The Rivoli. We started in the summer of 84, and we went to the summer of 85, and we challenged ourselves. We already pretended that we had a TV show in the sense that we did completely new sketches. Every Monday night, we did a show every Monday night. It was always new sketches. And we slowly built a following, and we got pretty good. And then in the summer of 1985, Mark McKinney, who later became Head Crusher and Chicken Lady,
yeah.
Not in real life, but just characters he played, and he said, "Why don't we have all these sketches and we only do them once? Why don't we rent a theater out for a week in Toronto, like a bigger theater, and do a best of the Kids in the Hall?" And it got great reviews, and we sort of got nationally known in Canada for like a little bit, and that was the same time that Lorne Michaels, after being away from Saturday Night Live for 5 years, decided to come back to Saturday Night Live, and he sent talent scouts all over North America. Toronto was one of the cities he sent them to because he's from Toronto, and we were discovered by Lorne Michaels. It took him a few years to figure out what to do with us, but that was the beginning, I guess. That's the discovered by story.
Cool. You know, the first time I saw Kids in the Hall, I was at, strangely enough, a hotel in Winnipeg, and the first sketch was "These Are the Daves I Know," and I was hooked right away.
Right.
And then the more I watched, it got a little more risque. Did you push the envelope a little bit more because Canadian television allowed for that, or was that just the troupe doing your normal material?
That was just the troupe doing the normal material. And we were on HBO. Like, it was
sure.
HBO that Lorne Michaels signed us with first, and then CBC in Canada came along. And that was just the way we were. And we never, like, thought it was, like, shocking or whatever. We just thought it was funny. Sometimes we would do square stuff where, like, I would fall a lot, and sometimes we'd do risky stuff that that people now think are edgy we'd never be able to do. But we never thought they were different. We equated them both as, like, comedy. We both thought whether it was, like, a Carol Burnett sketch or a shocking South Park kind of, humor kind of sketch, as long as it was funny, we were okay with it. A lot of that we couldn't do anymore, but I guess we were of our time.
The term escapes me right now, but it's similar to what you would see like in an episode of Seinfeld. And you guys did it so well, where you would take a theme and kind of come back to it throughout a 30-minute episode. Kind of, one I'm thinking right now is, I can't stop thinking about Tony, where he
Tony,
is.
Yeah. That's the best one of that, yeah. Well, we called it sort of like a show of runners, where you have a running theme that you go back to.
Yeah.
Monty Python definitely did it in their show. So we didn't invent it, and we really only did it in a big way in season two and season three. It was our least laziest year. I mean, even not our laziest. We worked really hard, and we were writing it as well. Season two and season three, we were really motivated to have shows with themes and stuff, like the Tony one you're talking about, or the Touch Bellini contest. And we're really proud of that. I wish we could have done it the whole time, but it's a lot of work. But again, Monty Python did it on TV, and it had been done on like stage in vaudeville for years before that. But it really ties the show together, and I think people like that.
Yeah, you guys did it very well. You've done some cool things alongside Kids in the Hall, Lilo and Stitch, and I love Pastor Dave on That 70s Show. When you've proven yourself as a comedian, actor, and writer, do roles like that come written for you? Is it still done through a process of audition?
That one they asked me to do. The Kids in the Hall, we just on our reunion tour in 2000, like 5 years after our TV show was done. And in the Los Angeles show, the creator of that show and the star of it, Topher Grace, they came to the show. And Mark Brazil was the creator, he thought they'd just written the part. They were going to audition, and they just thought that I'd be perfect for it. So I remember that was just the middle of our tour, too. I can't remember what city, Oklahoma, some city in Oklahoma or something like that, where I got a call from my agent saying they would be willing to tape the show during a week off in the tour. Like, we had 1 week off coming, and that's how I did that. I think I did 6 or 7 of those. And it was really fun.
It's just perfect.
The cast was all nice. They were all Kids in the Hall fans, even though they were young. and all the writers were great.
So once again, our guest is Kevin MacDonald, and he is performing at the Icon Lounge as part of the Snow Jam Comedy Festival on Saturday, February 23rd, 9 p.m., and also a workshop during the daytime, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Kevin, that's what I'd like to visit about next. Let's talk about writing, sketch comedy writing, and maybe tell us a little bit about this workshop.
Yeah, it's a workshop based on how the Kids in the Hall used to write when we were a stage troupe. We had to change our ways when we were a TV show because you have to actually write, have scripts for the crew and everyone to know what to do. But when we were that stage troupe between 84 to 85, we never wrote anything down. We wrote the ideas through improv. We would come to our rehearsal. And when you're doing this, rehearsals and writing sessions are the same thing. And we'd come to our rehearsals and we would hear everybody's ideas. We'd pick the ones we'd liked, and then we'd spend an hour on them just writing them through improvisation. Until we had sort of all the beats. We didn't write anything down in dialogue. We remembered what we liked. When we were on stage in front of people, we could change it a bit. We had all the beats to go to, how it began, how it ended, how it middled. And that's what I teach in these workshops that I go around North America doing. I just did it in Boston, had a lot of fun there. I'm doing it this weekend in Chicago. I'm also filming TV shows and stuff in between the workshops, so I'm very busy.
Very busy. That's awesome. The workshops shops themselves, are they pretty intensive? Because, like I said, it's 10 to 6. Would you recommend that for anybody?
Yeah, I would recommend for anybody. I would call it intensive. When I first started, I thought it would be for sort of the more experienced people, but that sort of fell away because the more experienced people are just comedians and don't have jobs and can't afford it. So now it's for everybody. And I found a way where everyone can coexist with each other, an experienced person and a person who's never really performed, never really written, but wants to do it. And they all sort of become equals in the workshop. That's the one. There's a lot of good things about the workshop, but that's one of the things I like the best. Yeah. That by 3 or 4 hours in, experience doesn't matter. They're all doing something sort of newish.
And your description of sketch writing sounds very much like a band getting together and writing, you know, music, finding your bridge, finding your chorus.
Yeah, like a jam band. Yeah. Like I'm sure the Grateful Dead, sometimes they, I think sometimes Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter came in with full songs. But even those, and some just had ideas, and I'm sure they would jam it, be happy with the verse, work on the chorus, figure out the guitar break and stuff like that. And yeah, ours was sort of a comedy version of that.
One thing I've come to appreciate so much as kind of a practical joker myself, but through watching entertainers like you, listening to radio guys like Phil Hendry, if you're familiar with him, is the role
I haven't heard him for years and years, but yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
A lot of different voices. We used to like him.
And the thing I appreciate is the role of the straight man. It's just an art, setting a character up or another comedian up for the kill.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy that every bit as much as playing a character like Pastor Dave?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I really enjoyed, even though I'm sort of thought of as the more over-the-top Kendall Hall and a big face mugger. I love comedy so much. And I think if I was a baseball player, I could play outfield, I could play shortstop, and maybe catcher, too. And I love doing the straight man. It's a lot of fun setting the other person up. It just is important. The other person, depending on the sketch, the other person wouldn't be able to be funny if the straight person wasn't doing their job. And I sort of have more fun doing it. There's less pressure on it, and it's just part of a teamwork ethic that I think the kids in the hall always enjoyed.
It's a real talent, and you bring in sports.
Yeah, they're... even Monty Python, even John Cleese, who was the craziest guy, or John Candy in SCTV, they were brilliant straight men, too. When you're sort of good at everything, then you're sort of a complete comic actor, and we always try to be that.
And I was going to say, you bring in sports, and the reward in that is kind of like being the hockey or basketball player that piles up a ton of assists.
Right. Yeah. I would like to be a point guard if I was a basketball player.
How,
I have a lot of sports analogies.
How extensive is your background in doing stand-up comedy? Have you been doing that pretty much all your life?
No, it's something I started recently. When I moved to Winnipeg, to make sure, because Winnipeg wasn't Los Angeles, so I'd have to fly places to do work. I could still fly and shoot and stuff, but to make sure that I was always doing something, I started doing stand up. Actually, the first time I really did it was Scott Thompson of the Kids in the Hall and myself. We went on a stand up tour, play stand up clubs, called it. Was Two Kids, No Hall or something like that. And we and that's sort of how I got into it. And now I do it a lot more and better at it. I was awful at first, and I sort of found my way. At first, I was sort of doing a sketch comedy version of, and it's still sort of that to a certain degree of stand-up, where it's like a show, because I can't tell jokes. Like I said earlier, when I was a kid, I realized that. And now I sort of now it's sort of evolved into funny true stories that's happened in my life.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the kids in the hall.
You talked about just stories from your life. Are there any other things you kind of like to riff on during your stand up show, or is everything pretty much fair game?
Well, I guess vaguely everything's fair game, but I'm probably as a stand up comic, though I'm not really. But when I do it. I feel limited in what I can talk about and be funny. Like, I don't know, this will please your listeners, I'm a dual citizen. I'm also an American, and I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but I can't do political satire. That's just not the way my brain thinks. So when I watch CNN and I hear something that he did, it just gets me mad, and I'm too mad to write comedy. So it's not that I'm against political satire. I love to hear a great political satire. I love Lewis Black, but it's something I can't do. I seem to be funnier when I tell stories that involve me.
That
I call it John Lennon comedy. We're in the Beatles, where Paul McCartney wrote the more imaginative things, but John Lennon wrote things about himself, like when he was writing the songs like I'm a Loser and Help, he was really writing about himself, and I didn't. So I think my kind of comedy is sort of more like that nowadays.
Very cool. I bet it suits you just fine, though. Kevin,
I hope.
We are looking so forward to having you in Sioux Falls again February 23rd. Icon Lounge is Kevin's stand-up, and also during the afternoon, the sketch writing workshop from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Kevin, I appreciate your time so much. Been a fan for a long time, And look forward to having you visit Sioux Falls. It's going to be great to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'll make sure I go to the falls, not the city.